As you're seated, I invite you to find a Bible and turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. Last week, we began our time in this chapter looking at the first four verses. And today, we'll be listening to Jesus speak to us in verses 5 through 11. As we come to this chapter, Jesus is using the image of himself as the true vine, and he's using the image of us believers as branches in that vine. And he's doing this to tell us how life with Jesus works. And he's also doing this to tell us that life without Jesus doesn't work. In one word, how life with Jesus works is by receiving, not achieving. We're all addicted to achieving. It's how everything else is made possible in life. But life with Jesus is totally different. It is fundamentally not about achieving, it's about receiving. And what we are able to receive from God, we're only able to receive from God because of what Jesus himself has achieved for us by grace. Praise God. That's how it works. So Jesus is making it clear here in John 15 that we receive life from him, true life, real life, fundamental spiritual life from him. And specifically, he's teaching us this in this chapter. We receive life by abiding in Jesus by faith. And that as we abide in Jesus by faith, something else happens, which is wonderful. He abides in us by grace. And as that happens, we abide in him, he abides in us, he produces fruit in us. It's all a gift from beginning, middle, and end. All of life with Jesus is a gift. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what stage of life you're in, if you abide in Jesus, then Jesus abides in you, and then, therefore, you are always being gardened by God. Who you are, where you are, what you're going through, you're being gardened by God, your Father. You're being pruned by God. You're being planted by God, held fast to the vine of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. That's how it works. Not by achieving, by receiving. You can't do enough. You can't try hard enough. You can't be good enough to produce life for God. That would be just as futile as your pencil trying to grow an apple. It's impossible. So Jesus invites us, like he said last week in verse 4 where we ended, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine, in me. Now, what does it mean to abide in Jesus? Last week, several of you kindly reminded me after the service that I preached a whole sermon on abiding and never defined the word abiding. I told Catherine this, and she said, well, there's always next Sunday, Jamie. So here we are. The word for abide in the original language means to stay in, to remain in. But more than that, there's more to it than just staying in or remaining in a place like we might, I think of staying in our car at a red light or remaining in a seat waiting at the DMV. That's sort of a lifeless staying and remaining. The kind of staying or remaining that Jesus is talking about here when he uses the word abide is the kind of staying, remaining that gives life. So the closest parallel I can think of is like a baby abides in his or her mother's womb. The baby stays there, and the baby ought to stay there in order to grow and be nourished and be safe and be loved. Remaining in a mother's womb is the only way that baby can have life. And in the beautiful design of God, when a baby abides in his or her mother, the mother also, in a sense, abides in the baby. It's the mother's life-giving nutrients that feed the baby. Very, very exhausted mothers will tell you, pregnant mothers will tell you, it's their own energy. It's their energy going to the baby. So this is the way Jesus is teaching us that the Christian life works, except here's where that picture breaks down. We never leave the womb of faith, so to speak. The believer's umbilical cord is never cut. There's one verse in the book of Acts, and we'll look at this, and then we'll turn to John 15, that sums it up so succinctly, sums up abiding in Jesus so succinctly. Acts 17, verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. So as we read on today in John 15, Jesus continues to elaborate on this. What does it mean then to do that? For branches to abide in the vine of living and moving and having our being in Jesus. And Jesus does that starkly, clearly, by describing two spiritual realities. And really there are only two. And the first is life without Jesus. Look at verses 5 through 6. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he or she it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, nothing here means nothing that accomplishes anything. Apart from the umbilical cord connection to life in Christ, you can't save yourself, you can't keep yourself, you can't comfort yourself, you can't atone for yourself, you can't lead yourself, you can't make yourself fruitful no matter how hard you try, because apart from Jesus, you are cut off from the source of life. It's like when you get into your car and realize you don't have the keys. There's nothing you can do to make it go. Perhaps you can turn the headlights on for a little while. But no matter how hard you wish it, you can't put it in reverse, you can't put it in drive, you can't make it go, because the source of life, the key, is not there. To be without Jesus is to be without the key. And he goes further about life without him in verse 6. And he's speaking all of this in love. This is the love of God manifest in the Son of God, telling us the reality of life without God, that we would come to God, that those who are in a place of unbelief would come to him. So he speaks clearly here. But in love, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. That's an immediate thrown away. He is presently disconnected, thrown away like a branch, and withers. It's a present withering going on for the unbeliever. And the branches are gathered. There's a future word, thrown into the fire and burned. In other words, without Jesus, you're not just disconnected from the only source of life, from the only key to life, but you're dangerously disconnected. Now this verse, verse 6, just to underline this, is not talking about a believer who's struggling in his or her faith, it's also not describing somehow a believer losing his or her own salvation. A true believer cannot lose his or her salvation. This is talking about, again, in love, an unbeliever who, apart from belief in Jesus, is in the present state of spiritual withering. That's the first part of verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away and withers. There's a present withering happening in the unbeliever. And Jesus speaks clearly about this, that this inevitably leads then, unless the believer turns to Christ, to future judgment. Jesus' own words, the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But future judgment is not the primary focus of this verse. It's not the primary focus of this chapter. It's also not the primary focus of the gospel according to John. The terrible reality of eternal separation from God is evoked here, but this verse is primarily about spiritual separation from God right now. And again, to repeat myself, Jesus speaks like this because he is beckoning unbelievers to come to life in Christ. He's speaking this way out of love, that the unbeliever is spiritually dead, spiritually withering, and spiritually separated from the only source of life. They do not have the key. And this will lead to eternal separation from the only source of life. But God, but this is the focus now of the whole chapter and of this teaching that Jesus is giving here. And I'll borrow here from Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were withering branches lying on the ground, even when we were separated from him, he made us alive together with Christ. And so now being alive together with Christ is what he emphasizes in the rest of his teaching. And it's almost like there's stair steps here as he goes on in this section of John 15 of just increasing satisfaction in him. If life without Jesus is a life of spiritual separation, it's also a life of just a lack of any satisfaction because nothing works without Christ. So now Jesus paints this picture of just increasing satisfaction, life within Jesus. Life within Jesus in verses 7 through 11. First, life within Jesus teaches us this now, is a life of increasing satisfaction in his word. Increasing satisfaction in his word. Beginning in verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Verses like this make us think. Because on a surface level, we could read that like, is Jesus just some sort of genie in the bottle? Or I can just ask for whatever I want? We know that that doesn't happen, that doesn't work. This is about a satisfaction in his word that has changed our desires. This is not about having Jesus as a genie in the bottle, but about having Jesus as Lord. And the way Jesus' lordship takes root in our lives and in our wills and in our affections is through the power of his word. The abiding word of Jesus takes up residence in you. And when the word of Jesus takes up residence in you, Jesus told us earlier in John chapter 6, verse 63, that his words are spirit and life. So it's not like you just have words to songs living in your head. That's great. Or words to poems or words to whatever. When the word of God lives in you, the word of God is spirit and life. There's nothing else like it. And what happens when Jesus' word abides in you, spirit and life, our desires and our will become reordered according to his desire and his will, so that verse 7 takes on a whole new meaning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if the Spirit of God and the life of God has taken up residence in you and has begun to move the furniture around and has begun to help you become more pruned and a little more pruned and then repruned and the next day pruned again, some of you, that you relate to what I just said, then what will happen is you will ask for God's will to be done, what you wish. You will not be wishing for things contrary to the will of God. And if you do, the Lord is going to prune that in you. You will ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, like Jesus taught us to pray, and it will be done for you. God's will be done for you. Here's a picture of increasing satisfaction in the word of God, that our wishes, our will becomes much more in line with his will, that his will would be done. I love how Alistair Begg puts it. He says, it's the word of God that does the work of God in the people of God by the power of the Spirit of God, that we glorify the Son of God. It's the Word, the life-giving Word of God, that we become increasingly satisfied with. And the more we take it in, the more it changes us. And now Jesus keeps going on this stair step, really, of satisfaction in him. How life within Jesus is one of increasing satisfaction in his love. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean. And its fullness under me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of his love, leading onward, leading homeward to his glorious rest above. Jesus says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I mean, that verse alone ought to be enough to make it worth your while to have come to church today. If you get nothing else out of this service, out of this sermon, take John 15, verse 9 home with you today. Print it out. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your dashboard. Make it the wallpaper of your phone. That you would know as a believer, this is true. This is God's word. This is a promise of God for you. There's no condition. There's no small print. As a believer, you are loved with the very same love that the Father loves the Son. Not a lesser love, not a different love, not a conditional love. Jesus himself says this to you this morning through his living word. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. A better translation for that is, just like the Father has loved me, just I love you. Just I love you. And then he doesn't add what we might expect him to add in our addiction to achievement. He doesn't add, so prove yourself worthy of my love. He says, abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, going on in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, which is not to say if you walk in perfection, that would rule all of us out. If you keep my commandments, meaning if you walk in obedience to me, if you just walk in simple obedience to me, Jesus is just taking away all the mysticism and the mystery. I mean, how does it work? Is it a feeling? Is it an emotion? Is it a mood? Is it a smoke machine? What is it? It's simple. If you just walk, it's simple and perfect, being pruned, saying, ouch, obedience, you abide in my love. Just as Jesus has kept his Father's commandments and abides in the Father's love. Life within Jesus, Jesus is teaching us, is just one of increasing just satisfaction in his word and in his love. And as we obey and we're being set free to obey, not in order to be loved, but we've heard the gospel enough and we have begun to realize we're just obeying because we're loved. Therefore, we're abiding in his love. Now, what does it mean to abide in the love of Jesus? I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean anything necessarily emotional. And for some of us, at times, perhaps, great, praise God. Or anything experiential most of the time. Or anything necessarily intellectual. What abiding in Jesus' love means is really just foundational. You can stand on this as a believer. You can rest on this as a believer. To hearken back to the image of John, the beloved disciple, in John chapter 13, you can lean back on this as a disciple, that because of what Jesus has done for you, purchased for you on the cross, because of his perfect life and his perfect death and his perfect obedience to the Father, because of Jesus, as a believer, you are 100% loved by God, 100% of the time, with 100% of the love that God has to give. Always, no matter what. There is no other love like this. Every other kind of love we know is earthly, human love. And that kind of love does fluctuate because we're all sinners. That kind of love can be lost. That kind of love comes and goes, not the love of God. Abide. Abide in my love. Verse 9 kind of love. John chapter 15, verse 9 kind of love. As the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves you. And life within Jesus is increasing satisfaction in this kind of love. And there may be times of pruning when worldly, earthly loves fluctuate or are lost. And these are heartbreaking seasons. Seasons of weeping. Seasons of real pain. And even in those seasons where earthly human love fluctuates or dies, God, your Father, by the power of the Spirit, pulls you further up and further in to the love of Jesus. Finally, and whenever I say the word finally in a sermon, I think of that joke about the preacher who said that word in his sermon. The son turns to his dad and says, Dad, what's it mean when the preacher says finally? And the preacher says, and the dad says, Son, it means absolutely nothing. Finally, we'll... Sorry. Close here. Life with Jesus is one of increasing satisfaction in his joy. His joy, not your joy. Praise God, not conditional joy, not earthly joy, not emotional joy. The joy of Jesus, given to you as a gift by grace. Jesus says in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that you'd get busy being a Christian. You give it your best shot. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and look miserable while you do it. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." See what Jesus does here. If you blink, you miss it in verse 11. His joy in one breath becomes your joy in the next. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. His joy is your joy. You don't need to be a joy generator. And too many of us are under the impression that it's up to us to generate joy. I spent years of my life leading worship 3 or 4 times a weekend. And there were times I was caught in the trap of a worship leader, as a worship leader, of trying to generate joy. Praise God for patient congregations. This is something different. This is not a Christian generating joy. This is a believer receiving a fountain of living water in them that is not their own, that can endure hardship, that can endure trial, that can endure the mundane work of life, that can endure life in Northern Virginia, that can endure riding on the metro and riding on the metro, that can endure sitting in the doctor's office, that can endure family trial, that can endure it all, because your joy is not a generated joy. Your joy is the joy of Jesus. It's all a gift. Salvation is given to you by grace. The peace of God is given to you by grace. The love of God is given to you by grace. The joy of God is given to you by grace. And that old children's song that's going to be stuck in your head today, and you're welcome, gets it right. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. It's there. It's there. Because the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you. You might not feel particularly joyful. That's fine. The joy of Jesus resides in you. So let me leave you once again with that picture of a baby abiding in his or her mother's womb. If that baby were listening to this sermon and were somehow able to ask me a question after the service, to say, well, then what do I do now? What do I do? The answer to that baby is the same answer for you and for me. Abide. You're safe there. You are loved there. You have everything you need there. You are where you need to be. Abide. You can kick around, you can roll around, you can poke your mother's kidney if you want to. Just abide. Believer, receive the word of Jesus, spirit and life. Receive the love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Lean back into it. It never changes, never goes up or down. And receive the joy of Jesus. Abide in him as he abides in you. Be increasingly satisfied. You are never cut off from the umbilical cord of faith. In him you live. and move and have your being. Amen.